The British police come under fire for the arrest of dozens of people, including members of an anti-monarchy group, on the day of coronation of King Charles. Russia says Ukraine has launched more than 10 drones on the Crimean Peninsula as Kiev reports widespread Russian drone strikes. The Israeli military's blockade of the occupied West Bank city of Ariha enters its third week. Good to have you with us. Now, in the UK, police drawn condemnations for the arrest of dozens of people on the day of coronation of King Charles. Several lawmakers and human rights groups have criticized the police approach. That after police forces detained more than 50 people, including leading members of the anti-monarchy group Republic. In London, rights groups labeled the arrests incredibly alarming and a dangerous precedent. According to the police, people were held for alleged affray, public order offenses, and breach of peace. The arrests were made days after the government granted new anti-protest powers to the police forces. Now we'll discuss reactions to the British police arrest of people on the day of the coronation with our analysts on our news review program. Take a listen to what they said.
Let's bring in Rodney Shakespeare, professor of economics, who joins us from London. We also have David Miller, academic broadcaster and investigative researcher, who joins us from Bristol. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. Rodney Shakespeare, I'll first start with you. Taking a look at the economics of this in terms of the finances, I should say, I'd like to get your idea on this, which is said to be roughly about £150 million that was spent on this. The timing, of course, couldn't be any worse based on the cost of living crisis that many Brits are experiencing. Doesn't this play a factor in the psyche of Brits when they take a look at this whole show that was put on?
Yes, of course. There's the economics and there's the show. But we're actually talking about the demonstrations of people being arrested. And the issue here is not about whether you support the monarchy. Many people do. It's not about whether there was any disturbance which might panic the horses, which could be very dangerous. It's about the fact that people were arrested for demonstrations which had been agreed with the police long beforehand. And if I may say so, it's not even about the arrests at those demonstrations. You see, there's been a new law passed, the Public Order Act, and it is being used against not only people protesting lawfully against the coronation. It is being used against those protesting about the environment, about poverty. And it's being done in circumstances where there is protest going right the way across Europe and the censorship coming from the mainstream journalistic organizations and the social conversation organizations is absolutely incredible. The biggest issue of all is they're not discussing the basis of the inflation, which is the eastward march of NATO. So behind this, you're on these demonstrations, which were lawful and agreed with the police, you've got this harder line, this more violent line, and that is a reflection of the increased censorship at a time where the issues are getting more sensitive and there's more distress, and as you are indicating, people financially are coming under pressure.
All right, let's talk about this a little bit further with you, David Miller, the Public Order Act, of how that, in a sense, it does suppress opposition in terms of protests. I guess that's what they're trying to do. Tell us what you think this does, and of course, at the same time, how the UK has been very critical of other countries, and in particular the Islamic Republic, when it had its riots on the streets, and how it condemned the way that the authorities here, especially the security apparatus, dealt with it. But in particular, how that pans out in the UK.
So, I mean, I think the widening of the lens on this is appropriate, because this is about a collapse of the last vestiges of democracy. And democracy was never really a very strong species in the UK, but this is about the collapse of those last vestiges, so that we can have banners removed by large phalanxes of police officers simply for being displayed on a public occasion. In the context where, of course, we have journalists, in particular Julian Assange, locked up for nothing for 4 years now. I mean, this is as we've just been seeing, a Europe-wide problem, which is to do with the US and to do with the war in Ukraine, where democracy, the last shreds of democracy are collapsing everywhere. So you can be arrested now in many European countries for having a vague view that that Russia is not the baddie in the Ukraine conflict. Now, of course, this contrasts, as you say, with the treatment of the British government of the Islamic Republic of Iran, where, of course, there were riots, etc., last year, much of which was created and prompted by the US, by the CIA, and with some support from the Zionist entity of Israel. So, I mean, this is obviously a matter of hypocrisy, but all through the country, in the UK, we've seen various ways in which protest has broken out. Yes, of course, it's been the protesters on the day who've been arrested, but we've seen at football matches in Glasgow, in Liverpool, the fans chanting against the coronation and indeed urging country to feed the poor. There have been political demonstrations in Scotland yesterday where Not My King was the chant, which was to the forefront of the march. So this is a widespread phenomenon of disdain for the monarchy, and it's dangerous for them.
Thank you very much for that, David Miller, academic broadcaster and investigative researcher. Rodney Shakespeare, thank you, professor of economics from London. With that, we come to an end for this edition of the News Review. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome back. Let's move on with the rest of this newscast. There seems to be no end in sight for the war in Ukraine, Kiev and Moscow launching new drone attacks against each other. The cities of Sevastopol and Saki in Crimea were targeted by 10 drone attacks. Russian Defense Ministry says it's destroyed 22 Ukrainian drones over the Black Sea overnight. Russia has several air bases in the area, but local officials say there is no damage. Over the past week, at least 5 Russian fuel facilities close to Ukraine's borders and in Crimea have suffered similar attacks, and 2 more drones crashed on the Kremlin's roof. Meantime, Russia has also launched widespread drone strikes on Ukraine, including on the capital, Kiev. Ukraine officials say that 2/3 of the country were targeted. John Emitter tells us about the latest developments in the war in Ukraine.
Russia continuing to strike Ukraine. Also, a worrying story of Russia announcing evacuations of civilians in the Zaporozhye region. Now, it's not clear whether this is due to concerns over the nuclear power plant there, or due to concerns of shelling, or due to concerns that Ukraine may have some success in the counteroffensive. So that's an important developing story, and that's the kind of the shadow that's overhanging this war at the moment of this Ukrainian counteroffensive. It's been expected for months, increasing signs that it may well start, but also comments from both sides. One comment from a Ukrainian general recently trying to downplay the West's hope of huge success in this counteroffensive. So very much both sides at the moment, I think, apprehensive about this counteroffensive starting, and I think many of the strikes that we're seeing from both sides are in relation to preparing or trying to counter this counteroffensive.
Iranian President Ibrahim Raisi says the United States has suffered a humiliating defeat in its maximum pressure campaign against Iran. Raisi made a comment addressing the 5th export potential exhibition of Iran. The president said that the country has achieved progress despite sanctions and threats. Raisi said Iranian scientists and industrialists have achieved anything that was banned under the sanctions. He added that economic operators have also circumvented and offset the sanctions regime. The president talked about the negotiations on removal of anti-Iran sanctions imposed following the U.S. withdrawal of the 2015 nuclear deal. He said Iran has never abandoned the talks, but it's not tying the national economy and growth to that political process. Iran has executed the ringleader of a separatist group responsible for several terrorist operations in the country. Habib Farajollah pleaded guilty in court after he was captured in 2020. Our correspondent has the details.
Showing absolutely no remorse. These are the confessions of the man that led the Harakat al-Nizal separatist group responsible for several terrorist operations in Iran that left over 450 casualties in a span of 15 years.
According to our plan, our members received military training. That is because we wanted to give the impression that Harakat al-Nizal is strong and can carry out military operations. We even started our activities with an attack on the governor's office inside the city in a residential area.
Based on the theory that the end justifies the means, the Swedish-backed terrorist ringleader masterminded one of the deadliest terror attacks in Iran. In 2018, the attack on a military parade in the southwestern city of Ahvaz killed at least 25 people and injured 70 others, many of which were civilian onlookers.
You could say that all of those who were killed or injured in the attacks were ordinary civilians. We really didn't care. Even many of them were Arabs, and that was okay. We just wanted everyone to know about us. We want people to know Harakat al-Nizal.
The Harakat al-Nizal terror group has been pushing to separate the southwestern province of Khuzestan, which is home to Iran's Arab population.
Fars, Arab, Turk, or Persian. We are all Iranians and we will always remain united.
I took part in this funeral to show my support for the Islamic Republic and our leader Ayatollah Khamenei. We are one and nobody can divide us.
Today, I came here to send the message that we will always remain united.
Habib Farajullah Cha'ab, nicknamed Habib Osaivand, head of the terrorist group, was arrested in 2020. He stood trial in 2022, where he pleaded guilty and was convicted and sentenced to death. Iran's Supreme Court upheld the death sentence, and he was executed on May 6. His mission remains a failed plot. Gisumisha Ahmadi, Tehran.
Now in other news, the Israeli regime has demolished several more Palestinian structures in the occupied West Bank. That happened after regime forces raided several villages in the cities of Ariha and Bethlehem. In Ariha, they completely destroyed a guest house. Two homes under construction belonging to family, as well as a father's store. A car wash workshop and a school were also destroyed in Bethlehem. The school had been destroyed by Israeli forces in 2017, but was rebuilt 6 years ago. Israel routinely destroys Palestinian homes and structures in the occupied territories, citing lack of construction permits, which are almost impossible to obtain. Palestinians and rights groups say that the move is part of Israel's land grab policy to expand its settlements. Meanwhile, the Israeli military's blockaded occupied West Bank city of Ariha is now in its third week. According to local media, military checkpoints have been set up at all the main entrances to the ancient city, also known as Jericho. Israeli forces inspect any vehicle traffic, search Palestinian passengers, and perform identity checks. The city and the adjacent Aqabat Jabba refugee camp have also seen deadly raids in recent weeks. Since the beginning of this year, at least 9 Palestinians have been killed and scores more injured or arrested in the same city. Mona Kandel has the details about the consequences of the Israeli military's blockade of the occupied West Bank city of Ariha.
In the last few months, clashes had been taking place between Palestinians from the city of Ariha and specifically from the Aqabat Jabr refugee camp and Israeli forces. This is new for the Israelis that this specific area, Ariha, and the surrounding areas, mainly the Aqabat Jabr refugee camp, to witness the clashes between the Israeli forces and the Palestinians. At least 10 Palestinians had been killed by the Israeli soldiers in Aqabat Jabr and Ariha. That's why the Israelis set military checkpoints at the entrances to Ariha and completely closed the Aqbat Jabr refugee camp, preventing people from entering or leaving the refugee camp. You have to mention that this closure, of course, had cost the Palestinians millions of U.S. dollars losses, mainly in the agricultural sector.
The Arab League has adopted a decision to readmit Syria after more than a decade of suspension, consolidating a regional push to normalize relations with Damascus. The decision was made at a closed-door meeting of four ministries of member states of the Pan-Arab Organization at its headquarters in Cairo. Syria's membership of the Arab League was suspended in 2011, a date after a conflict and foreign-backed militancy gripped the country, aimed at toppling the democratically elected government of President Bashar al-Assad. Recently, several Arab states have re-engaged with Syria in high-level visits and meetings. Those countries include Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Egypt, Bahrain, and Tunisia. More countries are planning to do so in the coming weeks and months. And with that, we come to the end of this newscast from Tehran.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Avery Kishmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, salam and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday of spring, May 7th, 2023. I'm Atefe Erfani hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and attitudes are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our great listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. As I always say, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back, everyone. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program. And here we've received reception reports from around the world, from Stumo Huang from Indonesia, Najmuddin from Bangladesh, and Dilip Kumar from India, one of our old and regular listeners. So, Dilip Kumar, Stumo Huang, and Najmuddin, thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And here we have piles of letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read your great emails. Najmuddin from India has sent us an email. Najmuddin is one of our old and regular listeners. Ding Lu from China has sent us a piece of email. Hector Friajofre, one of our old and regular listeners from Chile, has sent us an email from India again. We've received an email from one of our regular listeners, from Jayanta Chakrabarty. And from Poland, we have an email from Tomasz Katas. Stay with us, please. I will be back with these great emails. Welcome back. So, as I said, Najmuddin from India has sent us a piece of email, and Najmuddin says, "Dear sir or madam, assalamu alaikum. Please find the reception report enclosed to this email. I heard news and news highlights program, which is always my favorite. Kindly send me new program and frequency schedule. Printed QSL card with IRIB souvenirs. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Najmuddin from India, and thank you very much for this email. Thank you for letting us know your opinion about our programs. As you mentioned, that your favorites are the news section and the news highlights program. It's good to hear that. And as for your request for sending you the new program and frequency schedule, as well as the printed QSL card with IRB souvenirs, as I have always said, sending any material on behalf of IRB English Radio is halted temporarily due to the coronavirus pandemic around the world. So for the time being, please accept our eQSL or electronic QSL as verification. Maybe in the near future, we will send you IRIB English Radio souvenirs. And also, you can find the new program and frequency schedule at our website at parstoday.ir/en. Najmuddin from India, we wish you all the best, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And Ding Lu from China has sent us an email. Ding Lu says, "Dear IRIB, Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am a listener from China. Today I received your English program signal at 1520, 1620 UTC. The signal is very strong. The listening effect is very clear. Here, I want to apply for a QSL card from the Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. If there are souvenirs with Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's logo, it would be even better. Through your 24-hour English broadcast, I have a deeper understanding of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I would also love to have time to travel to Iran, taste local specialties, and visit local places of interest. I hope you can send me a QSL card. Thank you. Looking forward to receiving your reply. Thanks. Best wishes." Ding Lu from China. Salam and greetings from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And appreciations to you for this great email. And appreciations to you for your constant support and commitment to IRB English Radio. It's good to hear that you have gained a great pile of conception, a deep understanding, a true understanding of the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's good to hear that. So, Ding Lu from China, thank you again for this great email. We also invite you to travel to Iran and visit the great cities and villages of this great country, taste local specialties, and be acquainted with the customs and traditions of Iranian people, and many other things, many other beautiful things about Iran. Thank you again, Ding Lu from China. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Thank you. Welcome back. So from Chile, we've received an email from Hector Fria Jofre, one of our old and regular listeners. Hector says, "Dear friends of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I send my greetings and also a report in audio enclosed to my email confirming that I have been a listener of your radio. I would like to receive information about your country, and I certainly want to obtain a QSL card or EQSL if it would be possible, yours truly. Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran. Hector Friahofre from Chile. And warm gratitude to you for this great email. Thank you for this email and the audio you enclosed to your email confirming that you have been a listener of IRIB English Radio. So please accept our electronic QSL as verification. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon." And here we've received an email from India from Jayanta Chakrabarty, one of our old and regular listeners. Jayanta says, "Dear staff, as a long-time regular listener to my favorite radio station, I send my greetings and good wishes to IRIB English Radio team for presenting attractive and interesting programs that truly enhances my knowledge of the great nation of Iran. Please receive my feedback of one of your broadcasts, which I accessed in the 25-meter shortwave band. Reception quality was fairly good, with a strong signal strength. Presentation of program was cheerful and friendly. It would be a pleasure to have my report verified at your end with a printed QSL card. I would be delighted to receive some Iranian postage stamps for collection, if it is possible, from your end. Wishing all at IRIB English Radio good health and safety, with warm regards from India. Salam and warm greetings and warm regards from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, and also from IRIB English Radio staff to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Thank you very much for this great email. And appreciations to you for letting us know your opinion about the quality of our programs, as you spoke about the quality of the program, the signal strength, and the presentation of the program. Thank you for that. Your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio let us move easily and truly in our paths to strengthen the quality of our programs. Thank you for that. It is a pleasure to have you with us as a long-time regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, thank you again. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification. And after a short break, I will be back with you. Now, here we have an email from Poland, from Tomasz Katas. Tomasz says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, my name is Tomasz Katas, a DXer from Poland. Thank you for taking the time to read my report. I hope you found it useful. If this reception report is accurate and you have the time, please verify it with an EQSL email confirmation. Thank you. Salam and greetings to you, Tomasz Katas from Poland. Thank you for this email. So, you are a DXer from Poland. Thank you for taking time to write this email to IRIB English Radio. We will soon send you an EQSL or electronic QSL as confirmation. So, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs." Okay, as I always say, art is long, but life is short. Yes, here we have come to the end of our today's listeners special. Many thanks for being with us. Please keep in touch with IRIB English Radio. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ali baytihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of this program for humanity. Now we are discussing the traits that makes the human being slip away and deviates from the true path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have many traits that if we indulge them long enough, they will get us in a lot of trouble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sometimes even with the law itself. So understanding these traits is absolutely vital and important. So when it comes to the human beings, when it comes to our fellow human beings, be it in our country, be it in a different country, we have to also keep that in mind, that we have other guests in this world, or at least in our house, or what have you. You're not alone. So you need to maintain your akhlaq. You need to observe these bad traits that you have. One of the traits that the Quran mentions is ghurur and yas. Having too much pride in oneself, and also falling depressed and going towards despair. So one could fall on either of these spectrums if he does not maintain himself. So Allah, when he talks about the human being, he says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ, as for the human being, إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمَنُ. If that human being, he gets whatever he wants, Allah would not trial him, Allah would give him na'ma. He says, oh yeah, God is, you know, favoring me. He has this upper, he thinks he has this upper, you know, notion that God must, you know, give him whatever he wants. So it says, akramahu na'amahu fayaqul rabbi akramani. Yeah, God is so great to me. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ عَلَيْهِ فَقَدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَنَنَ. So he will contribute poorness to Allah. That's how he explains it. That some people try to blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their faults. So he's Abi Ahanan, he has, you know, degraded me. So then we become like directly talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and trying to have a feud with him. Allah says, no, I have nothing personal with you guys. The only problem is, kalla la takrumuna al-yatim, you're not generous to the orphan. Wala tahalluna ala ta'am al-miskin, and the food for the poor, you don't support each other to go and feed the poor. Or even if the poor has money or has food, you're not even help them there either. And then he says, وَتَأْكُلُونَ التَّرَاثَ أَكْلًا لَمَّا وَتُحُبُّونَ الْمَالَ حَبًّا جَمًّا. Surely, when it comes to wealth, when it comes to power, you guys just get angry for that. And the more we have these powers, when it comes to wealth, and when it comes to fame, and when it comes to position, then what tends to happen is that we become too prideful. And being too prideful will cost me a lot. So I have to be very careful. Now, before we continue, let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So, pride is a devastating trait for the human being. Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he says, when he read this ayah, Ya ayyuha al-insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Oh man, what made you go against your Lord? What made you think less of your Lord? What made you so much pride and prideful because of what your Lord has given you? Why? Whatever you have, it's because of Allah gave it to you. So he says, adhabu mas'ulin hujjatan وَأَقْطَعُ مُغْتَرًا مَأْدِرَةً لَقَدْ أَبْرَحَ جَهَالَتِهِ بِنَفْسَهِ. He says, a person, when it comes to this ayah, مَا غَرَّكِ بِرَبِّكَ الْكَرِيمِ, he says, this person is like, when it comes to his hujjah, when it comes to his evidence, it will be rejected. And when it comes to his ghurur, to his pride, it's not something that people would excuse. And he's just shown himself to be an ignorant. That's what the Imam says. So being ignorant and being not aware of ourselves and having too much pride, it could in fact cause me and you plenty of harm. So we have to be very careful. The other thing that we have to be also careful when it comes to ourselves is arguments and debates as well. So I'll keep it very short. So Allah says, أَلَمْ يَرَى الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. Don't the human beings see that when we create them, they are constantly going against us, they are constantly arguing, they are constantly fighting. He's always a khasim al-mubin, he's always a very known enemy to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. as if he's trying to take revenge on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not understanding that he's losing because his life isn't declined, right? And then the hadith says, خَلَقَهُ مِنْ قَطْرَةٍ مِنْ مَاءٍ مُنْتٍ فِيمَا يَكُونُ خَصِيمًا مُتَكَلِّمًا بَلِغًا. Allah created man from a speck of sperm. And then that speck of sperm has the audacity to come and become the opponent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to be very careful when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us things and He bestows things upon us. We have to be very careful not to use it for transgression, not to use it to harm ourselves, whether it is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or whether it is against our fellow human beings. Now we will conclude here and we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على الرسول وآل النبي العظيم.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is under pressure after dire Tory losses in local elections. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak has called the results disappointing, while the opposition Labour Party says it's on track to win power at the next general election. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. In Britain, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak faced devastating losses of more than 1,000 Tory seats in local elections, while the opposition Labour Party has said the party is on track to win power at the next general election. The Prime Minister conceded on Friday the English Council results were disappointing, but faced a scathing verdict from some of his MPs and the first rumblings of a threat to his leadership. Keir Starmer, the leader of the opposition Labour Party, was buoyed up by winning more than 500 seats, with the party believing its projected vote share puts it on course to take power in the next general election in 2024. The BBC projected national share of the vote put Labour on 35%, the Conservatives on 26% and Liberal Democrats on 20%, while other parties were on 19%, with estimates extrapolated from the England-only local results. On Friday night, Labour was expecting this to be its best local election result since 1997, with an equivalent vote share lead of 8-9% over the Conservatives. Labour sources said this could result in a majority Starmer government if repeated in a general election. Labour made significant gains from the Conservatives in the north of England and in the Midlands, as well as taking southern councils such as Plymouth, Swindon, Dover and Medway. They celebrated becoming the largest party in local government, which has not happened since the days of Tony Blair in 2002. The party had made surprising successes in Hartsmere in Hertfordshire, the seat of the Deputy Prime Minister Oliver Dowden, where the Tories lost overall control of the local council. With the dire results rolling in through the course of Friday, the Tories had lost more than 1,000 council seats by the evening, with several councils still to declare. Make no mistake, we're on course for a Labour majority at the next general election, Keir Starmer said, having previously urged caution within his shadow team. The Liberal Democrats also had a good showing in the south of England against the Tories, winning more than 400 seats and lifting their hopes of being kingmakers in a hung parliament at the next general election. Among their gains were Windsor and Maidenhead, the local council of former Prime Minister Theresa May, and Stratford-upon-Avon, the seat of the former Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi. The Scottish National Party SNP also held out the prospect of a hung parliament, with the SNP's Westminster leader, Stephen Flynn, saying it was increasingly clear that the Scottish Nationalist Party can hold the balance of power after the next general election. Rishi Sunak and his party chairman, Greg Hands, attempted to put a positive spin on the results, insisting there had been no groundswell of switching from Conservatives to Labour. However, some Tory MPs expressed upset at the loss of so many councillors from 2019's already low base. One of Rishi Sunak's Cabinet Office ministers, Johnny Mercer, an MP in Plymouth, where Labour took control of the local council, said the party had to improve its response to the cost of living crisis and also to inflation. At his local county, he said, "We've got to do better and we've got to learn from tonight." One Conservative MP described the losses to the Liberal Democrats and Greens in the south of England as a bloodbath. "Frankly, looking at the results, the only way we're going to win is to fight tooth and nail for the North and Midlands, as large chunks of the south of England are gone." And there I say there seems to be a clear correlation in areas we're holding on and active Tory MPs. Those where the MPs are less than visible, we're being punished. Meanwhile, allies of Boris Johnson linked to the Conservative Democratic Organisation CDO suggested that Rishi Sunak should face a confirmatory vote of members and that no one should rule out a comeback for the former Prime Minister. David Campbell Bannerman, the chair of the Conservative Democratic Organisation, an ally of Boris Johnson, told Times Radio he blames Rishi Sunak because he brought down Boris, and claimed Conservative MPs would act out of self-preservation to replace the Prime Minister. Other Conservative MPs were more sceptical, with a former Boris Johnson supporter, Michael Fabricant, saying, "Part of the whole problem with the Conservatives is not only the cost of living crisis, but what happened last year. So if we start to repeat that, then we not only will not win the next general election, we won't deserve to." Boris Johnson is still waiting the verdict of the Privileges Committee inquiry into whether he misled Parliament over Partygate, and some of Rishi Sunak's supporters blamed the former Prime Minister and the turmoil of the past year for putting voters off the Conservative Party. Reuters news agency has also covered this story and tells us more. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's Conservatives suffered steep losses in Friday's local election results, undermining his attempt to revive their fortunes and emboldening the opposition Labour Party before a national vote expected next year. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak came to power in October following a year of political scandals, surging inflation and stagnant economic growth. In office, he has faced a cost of living crisis, mounting concern about healthcare and widespread industrial action. While governing parties often struggle at midterm elections, the council seats in England are the largest and possibly last test of voter sentiment before the next general election, due in January of 2025 at the latest, with a majority of councils counting their votes, which do not affect the government's majority in Parliament. The Conservatives had a net loss of 943 seats, while the Labour Party added 486 seats, and the Liberal Democrats gained 353 seats. Labour said they were now on track for power at the next general election. A Sky News projection based on the voter share of the early results said Labour could garner 36 to 38% of the vote at the next national election, making them the biggest party, with the Conservatives at 28 to 30%. The projection said Labour Party might fall short of a majority, though that could depend on how it fares in Scotland, where it is competing to take seats from the Scottish National Party, SNP, and which did not hold local elections. A similar BBC projection said Labour would get 35% at a general election and the Conservatives 26%, and some in Rishi Sunak's party voiced their disquiet over the results. Labour won control of Swindon Borough Council, a town in south-west of England where Labour leader Keir Starmer launched his election campaign, and which has always voted for lawmakers for the government party since 1983. No spin, no gloss, this is a dreadful set of results, said Justin Tomlinson, Conservative lawmaker in Parliament for Swindon North. The party collectively needs to take this as a wake-up call to refresh and to renew.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT5 and IntelSat39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reason for man's creation. You know, this is a very important topic, and in general, the discussion on, man and the way he was created, his constitution, his existence, and then also his purpose in this world is something that has always perplexed thinkers from various disciplines from all over the world and from times immemorial. And this is also a topic that the Quran has touched upon in various places. For example, in one verse of the Holy Quran we read, I did not create the jinn and the humans except that they may worship me, which alludes to the fact that God Almighty, He created human beings so that they could worship and serve God, and in this way they could achieve their otherworldly and worldly felicity. And also in another place in the Holy Quran, God says, had your Lord wished, he would have made mankind one community, but they continue to differ, except those on whom your Lord has mercy, and that is why he has created them. Which indicates the, again, the purpose of man's creation, but this is also indicative of the fact that the previous verse in which worship was designated as the purpose for man's creation was only a transitory and intermediate purpose. The ultimate purpose is that God should show his mercy on human beings. And the way to do that is that they worship him and they become deserving of his mercy. In any case, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, O people, Allah, exalted be His remembrance, has only created people so that they might know Him. And when they know Him, they worship Him. And when they worship Him, they become needless of worshipping others by His worship. A man asked him, O son of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, may my parents be your ransom. What is meant by knowing Allah? He replied, it is that the people